position imaginable. This is Moses' mother. And remember, Israel had been enslaved for a century or more, and the parents of Moses were therefore slaves when they married. And what this means to both the mother and the father is they worked as slave laborers. They were beasts of burden. They were abused. They were yelled at, probably cursed and beaten at the whim of the slave masters. They were poor, even poverty stricken. They lived a small, poorly furnished house or a shanty. They would have few, if any, possessions to call their own. They had no opportunity to do what they wanted, and they could not better themselves. And this is the situation of Moses' parents. Moses' mother would have had no social standing, no decent clothes, no possessions, no rank, no position. And yet she was a slave. She worked in the brickyards or the fields as a servant of some wealthy Egyptian. This is a quote from Preacher's Outline and Sermon Bible. Yet God was to use this humble mother, this enslaved woman, beyond imagination. Here is a mother that has a faith and trust in God, no matter what. And I want you to understand something. It doesn't matter the position of a person, but in 1 Corinthians chapter 1, God will use sometimes the base things of the world. The world might say, it's just a mom. Being a mother, it's an easy job. I tell you, it's probably one of the most difficult jobs, if not the most difficult job. 1 Corinthians chapter 1, verse 26. God will use the base things of the world, the things that the world may account with no glory, and he'll use them for his glory. 1 Corinthians chapter 1, verse 26, for you see your calling, brethren, that not many wise men after the flesh, not many mighty, not many noble are called. But God hath chosen the foolish things of the world to confound the wise, and God hath chosen the weak things of the world to confound the things which are mighty. And base things of the world, and things which are despised, hath God chosen, yea, and things which are not, to bring to naught things that are. That no flesh should glory in his presence, but of him are ye in Christ Jesus, who of God has made unto us wisdom and righteousness and sanctification and redemption. That according as it is written, he that glorieth, let him glory in the Lord. And God's going to use Moses' mother to form a leader in a time when it was illegal for her to nurture her young son. I want you to look with me at another passage of Scripture to whom God draws nigh to. In Luke chapter 15, verse 1. Luke chapter 15, verse 1. And we'll read through verse 7. Luke 15, verse 1. Then drew near unto him all the publicans and sinners for to hear him. And the Pharisees and scribes murmured, saying, this man was and eateth with them. And he spake this parable unto them, saying, what man of you, having an 100 sheep, if he lose one of them, doth not leave the 99 in the wilderness and go after that which is lost until he find it? And when he hath found it, he layeth it on his shoulders, rejoicing. When he cometh home, he called together his friends and neighbors, saying unto them, rejoice with me, for I have found my sheep which was lost. I say unto you that likewise joy shall be in heaven over one sinner that repenteth more than over 99 just persons which need no repentance. And God really does draw nigh to the humble. You find here the Pharisees, you know, Jesus eats with sinners and publicans and sinners and tax collectors, and he eats with them. And they're just saying, what in the world, Jesus? Jesus would be with those that realize they had a need. And here is a mother. She has a great need. She has to potentially throw her child in the river. She does do that. But she throws him in an ark, a place of safety. She had a simple faith. And you know what faith really is? Faith is letting God be the determining factor. It's Hebrews chapter 11, verse 17 through 19. By faith, Abraham, when he was tried, offered up Isaac, and he that received the promises offered up his only begotten son, of whom it was said that in Isaac shall thy seed be called, accounting that God was able to raise him up even from the dead, from whence also he received him in a figure. So faith is letting God be the determining factor. Exactly what Moses' mother did. So at some point, she becomes pregnant and has Moses, and it's her third child. She has Miriam and Aaron, the older ones. and Miriam is thought to be between the ages of 13 to 16. She did go forward there in verse Exodus chapter 1, verse 22. You look with me, and Pharaoh charged all his people, saying, "Every son that is born ye shall cast in the river, and every daughter ye shall save alive." He's trying to exterminate the Hebrew boys, and so at that point in time, he tells all the Egyptian midwives, any Hebrew boy that you find, you are to kill, to get rid of him. And Miriam's, Moses' mother, she does hide him for 3 months, though it was illegal, and possibly from the law, and Moses was born to parents who were willing to risk their lives to keep their child alive. And mother, she did her best to hide him, but having a young child, as you understand, a young child cries. You'd have to silence that cry. To think about a thing of an illustration of simple faith. During the terrible days of the Blitz there in England, a father holding a small son by the hand ran from a building that had been struck by a bomb. In the front yard was a shell hole. Seeking shelter as quickly as possible, the father jumped in the hole and held up his arms for his son to follow. Terrified, yet fearing his father's voice telling him to jump, the boy replied, "I can't see you." The father, looking up against the sky tinted red by the burning buildings, called to the silhouette of his son, "But I can see you jump." The boy jumped because he trusted his father. The Christian faith enables us to face life or meet death, not because we can see, but with the certainty that we are not seen. Not that we know all the answers, but that we are known, end quote, Donner Atwood. It's kind of, there's an African impala, kind of a deer-like animal or an antelope or something like that, and that animal can jump up, it can jump up to 10 feet high and cover a distance of 30 feet. And yet if a 3-foot wall, if that animal cannot see over the wall, it's not going to jump it, even though it has the tremendous capability to do such. And that's many times in our lives. And this mother of Moses says, "Lord, I'm going to give him up to you. I don't know. It's illegal what I'm doing. I don't care. But I'm going to save my child. God, I'm going to give him up to you." Do we live our life in the fear of man and human reasoning? Or do I live in the comfort of God's presence, trusting him to take care of me? And you know what? Moses' mother said, "You know what? I'm just going to leave it up to God. And we'll see what God does." You know what? God would end up using this little boy to transform a nation, to lead a nation out of slavery. You think it's a menial thing. And what we have to understand is that God will not forsake us. We might think, "God, where are you?" Deuteronomy chapter 4. Verses 29 to 31. "But if from thence thou shalt seek the Lord thy God, thou shalt find him, if thou seek him with all thy heart and with all thy soul. When thou art in tribulation, and all these things are come upon thee, even in the latter days, if thou turn to the Lord thy God, and shall be obedient unto his voice, for the Lord thy God is a merciful God, he will not forsake thee, neither destroy thee, nor forget the covenant of thy fathers, which he sware unto them." What a wonderful truth there. He says, you know what God wants us to do? God says, "I'm going to be with you, but don't forsake me. Don't leave me." Another truth here is Moses' mother would know here. It's some truths. Obviously, she would not have had the canon of Scripture because Moses was the penman of the Pentateuch. But she would have known of the greats of the past before her. She would have known of Joseph and others. Deuteronomy chapter 31, verses 6 through 8. Understand this. No matter the tribulation, no matter the trials or the hardship that we face, God goes before me. In Deuteronomy chapter 31, verses 6 through 8. "Be strong and of a," what does it say? "Good courage. Fear not, nor be afraid of them. For the Lord thy God, he it is that doth go with thee. He will not fail thee, nor forsake thee." And Moses called unto Joshua and said unto him in the sight of all Israel, "Be strong and of a good courage. For thou must go with this people into the land which the Lord hath sworn unto their fathers to give them, and thou shalt cause them to inherit it. And the Lord, he it is that doth go before thee, he will be with thee. He will not fail thee, neither forsake thee. Fear not, neither be dismayed." God tells Israel before they would go into the promised land, and as they're going forth on the very truth, he says, listen, I'm going for you. You don't need to fear. God doesn't change. We don't understand what is going on, but we need to have the faith of Moses' mother, literally throwing her son into the Nile River, into the river, with understanding that there's animals there that can eat them, crocodiles or alligators or both or whatever animal life is there in the river, that others could potentially take that baby and find it along the way and kill it. Now, obviously, we do understand that Miriam, the sister, would follow that ark, as we'll read on. But Moses' mother said, Lord, he is yours. I don't know what to do. And what we have to do in 1 Samuel, turn with me to 1 Samuel chapter 12. 1 Samuel chapter 12. And down through the ages, we have had, there has been trials and tribulations and hardships and persecution and other things that have arisen. But Moses' mother says, I'm going to do right as long as I can. And she tried to instill in that baby, obviously 3 months old, that child, she hasn't been able to instill that much. But her faith was richly rewarded. 1 Samuel chapter 12, verse 22. For the Lord will not forsake his people. What does it say next? For his great namesake. Because it hath pleased the Lord to make you his people. Moreover, as for me, God forbid that I should sin against the Lord in ceasing to pray for you, but I will teach you the good and the right way. This is Samuel speaking. Only fear the Lord and serve him in truth. How? With all your heart. For consider how great things he hath done for you. But if ye shall still do wickedly, ye shall be consumed, both ye and your king. We need to beware of turning from the Lord. We need to be aware of letting anything other than God be our guide. So what's happening here at the river? The babies were drowned by the people. This baby was taken to the last spot, which carnal reasoning would have suggested. The place of death really here becomes a place of life, deliverance, and freedom. Pharaoh's command was to put the baby boys there in the river, and technically Moses' mother did that. But we have to understand that our lives are in God's hands. It was there at the place, just as the Lord Jesus Christ. We have eternal life because someone died for us. We have eternal life because someone put themselves in a place of danger and they did die. Jesus Christ, giving us life, deliverance, and freedom. John 6:37, all that the Father giveth me shall come to me, and him that cometh to me I will in no wise cast out. Moses' mother says, I'm faced with a tremendous challenge here. Look with me, though, verse 5. God does something. God rewards her faith, verse 5, in Exodus 2. And the daughter of Pharaoh came down to wash herself at the river, and her maids walked along by the river's side. And when she saw the ark among the flags, she sent her maid to fetch it. And when she had opened it, she saw the child, and behold, the babe wept, and she had compassion on him and said that this is one of the Hebrew's children. Then said his sister to Pharaoh's daughter, shall I go and call to thee a nurse of the Hebrew women that she may nurse the child for thee? And Pharaoh's daughter said to her, go. And the maid went and called the child's mother. And Pharaoh's daughter said unto her, take this child away and nurse it for me, and I will give thee thy wages. And the woman took the child and nursed it. Think about this. Moses' mother literally placed her very life of her sons into the hands of God. God blessed her faith. She saved the life of her own son. Not by any human reasoning, but by faith. In Psalm 37, verses 39 and 40, but the salvation of the righteous is of the Lord. He is their strength in the time of trouble, and the Lord shall help them and deliver them. He shall deliver them from the wicked and save them. Why? Because they trust in Him. God did an amazing work here. She was allowed to see her son thereafter. She was allowed to train her son in the ways of God. Why do you think at age 40 years old, Moses ended up leaving Egypt? Why would he kill an Egyptian slave master, as you would find later on in this book of Exodus? Why would he kill an Egyptian slave master over one who was treating the Hebrew people bad? Because he had a mother that lived by faith. He had a mother that instilled in him the faith that God is worth it. And if you would read in the book of Hebrews, it talks about Moses forsook the riches of Egypt. 40 years old. He is a wealthy man. All the pomp and splendor of Egypt, he leaves it. He had a mother that instilled into him faith in God. Moses was allowed to, God provide the world's best schooling. Moses was a very well-educated man. Miriam and Aaron would grow up with their parents, and they would be taught the principles of God, and they lived out their faith, but they would see God miraculously work in the keeping of their younger brother. A parent's testimony and faith in God, especially through hard times, speaks the loudest to your children. And you will either aid or hinder your child's ability to place their faith in God. Remember, parents are teaching their children how to live for God or how to live carnally. Parental discipline should mimic God's perfect parenting. Obviously, we're not perfect by any figment of the imagination. Deuteronomy chapter 4, parents, there's a responsibility to be reminded of history. Deuteronomy chapter 4, verse 9, only take heed to thyself and keep thy soul diligently, lest thou forget the things which thine eyes have seen, and lest they depart from the heart all the days of thy life, but teach them thy sons and thy sons' sons. Saying, teach them to your grandchildren. You need to see of the faithfulness of God, that God was with us even at some of the very difficult times. And what we also have to do in our parenting practices in Deuteronomy chapter 6, verse 7, and thou shalt teach them, this is God's word, diligently unto thy children, and shalt talk of them when thou sittest in thine house, and when thou walkest by the way, and when thou liest down, when thou risest up. God's word ought to have preeminence. God also commands godly training in Proverbs 6, 7, train up a child in the way he should go, and when he is old, he will not depart from it. Moses, 40 years old. He gets to 80 years old, backside of the desert, and God calls him. It goes back to a mother that started by faith. You might be thinking, man, I'm so sick and tired of what I'm doing right now. She said, I don't know with my child. I'm going to put him in the Nile. Put him in an ark. His only means of escape. Training should begin as early as possible. Isaiah 28:9, whom shall he teach knowledge, and whom shall he make to understand doctrine? Them that are weaned from the milk and drawn from the breasts. Training should begin as early as possible. And if there's a lack of knowledge of God, it produces a departure from faith. Hosea 4:6, my people are destroyed for lack of knowledge. Because thou hast rejected knowledge, I will also reject thee, that thou shalt be no priest to me. Seeing thou hast forgotten the law of thy God, I will also forget thy children. A lack of knowledge produces a departure from faith. There was a long-term longitudinal study of parent time with children. This was published in the Journal of Marriage and Family in April 2015. The question was, do parents, especially mothers, spend enough time with their children? Obviously, this comes from a secular magazine. The Washington Post compares the result of the study to the widespread cultural assumption that the time parents, particularly mothers, spend with the children is key to ensuring a bright future. Their conclusion, the new research upends that conventional wisdom and finds that that isn't the case at all. The study looked at the long-term success outcomes, for example, academic achievement, behavior, and emotional well-being, of children aged 3 to 11. In relation to the time they spent with their mothers. Even though moms spend far more time with their children today than they did in the 1960s and 70s, almost twice as much as from 1975 to 2010, 7.3 hours per week in 1975 compared to 13.7 hours in 2010. There seemed to be no substantial difference in the child's overall success outcome. In fact, quite the contrary. The study found that a mom's time spent with her kids could actually be harmful if she was stressed or anxious. Mother's stress, especially when mothers are stressed because of the juggling with work and trying to find some time with kids, that may actually be affecting kids poorly. So if what it's saying is, it's not the outcome of a child, really ultimately is faith. If you're going to live by faith, if a person's all stressed and anxious and an emotional basket case, it's going to have a negative outcome on your children. That's what in a secular study is saying. But it, as we look here, faith, raising up a child in the nurture and admonition of the Lord. I'm not living carnally, I'm living spiritually. And as you think about that, really a Proverbs 31 woman was a working mom who operated vineyards, sewed clothing, and looked after all the needs of her household while raising a family. Like a modern mother, her days were long and her time was precious. For the mother who strives to be the best, this article goes on, and the best wife and mother she can be, these pressures just can't be avoided. But there's one burden that every mother would do well to unload. If this study calls mom to anything, it's to stop bearing the weight of unrealistic expectations and guilt. Work when you must, nurture whenever and however you can, but don't punish yourself for not being able to do it all. It's the anxiety, the lack of trust in God's sovereign care that will cause the most harm to you and to your children. It's good for them to see more of you, so long as more time means they see more of your faith. The application is, do your children see you exhibiting faith in God or a worry over the future? If we worry and fret, we teach our children that God is not capable. Verse 4, there's a generational faith. We find something else that happened here of this mother's faith, and his sister stood afar off to wit what should be done to him. Miriam goes and watches the ark as it goes down the stream, and it's carried along. She exercised her mother's faith and confidence in God, and she watches that baby as it goes. And she was a slave girl. Here's a slave Hebrew girl approaching Pharaoh's daughter. Imagine she would have had some guards or others around her. The saying is true, your actions speak louder than your words. Look with me at Hebrews chapter 11, as I was alluding to Hebrews 11 earlier, but nevertheless, Hebrews chapter 11, verse 24. We'll go back to Exodus chapter 2. Hebrews chapter 11, verse 24. Hebrews 11, 24. By faith Moses, when he was come to years, refused to be called the son of Pharaoh's daughter, choosing rather to suffer affliction with the people of God than to enjoy the pleasures of sin for a season, esteeming the reproach of Christ greater riches than the treasures in Egypt, for he had respect in the recompense of the reward. By faith he forsook Egypt, not fearing the wrath of the king, for he endured, seeing him who is invisible. Moses says, you know what? It's not about Egypt. How did it work? God had a mother who gave her son up by faith. God had a daughter that stepped out in faith to talk to Pharaoh's daughter. Here's a mom and a dad that have instilled some faith in their children. Obviously, all of those children, Miriam and Aaron and Moses, would all serve the Lord in some capacity. Ephesians 6:4 does talk about that. And you fathers, provoke not your children to wrath, but bring them up in the nurture and admonition of the Lord. And the fact is, of Moses' mother, she says, God, I'm going to trust you. Think about that. Lord, I'm going to trust you with my child. I can't imagine putting my daughter in the river. Now, obviously, it was sons. But I can't imagine putting my daughter in a river and just seeing, you know what, I'm not supposed to keep her. I'll jeopardize the entire family. We could all be killed. I'm going to put the child in an ark. comfortable thing. I'm going to daub it with slime and pitch and tar and make sure it floats. But Lord, I'm going to put it in your hands. And you know what? God works mightily and miraculously when we let him be God. And we simply leave oneself fully submitted to his will. You know what God wants? Live by faith. That's what God wants. If a parent does not live by faith, and they worry, they fret, they're anxious, they're frustrated, they're irritated, what I'm saying to my child, our daughter, is I am saying that God is not sufficient. The very fact remains that, you know what, we see a lot going on in our world that we don't understand. We see a lot happening. The greatest thing that we need is not to live by fear, because if we live by fear, then I'm going to let society dictate what is appropriate. But if I live by faith in God, doing what God has called me to do, as Moses' mother did, God rewarded her faith. What was she was paid to nurse and raise her own son. Only God can do that. Many times we've put so many comforts of life around us. And as we begin to see these comforts and freedoms of life removed, we begin to realize, you know what, I just need God. And Moses' parents would throw themselves upon the mercy and power of God. And in turn, God raised up a man who would deliver Israel from the very nation and monarchy that he was raised by that sought to kill him. You know what God did? The Egyptians raised the man that would be to their own hurt. You know what God did? God made the foolish look. God makes the foolish the proud. He makes the proud look foolish. Excuse me. Get that backwards. And we as Christians today, we don't need to look to the Christians of the past. God has done amazing things in the past. We need not reminisce and say, you know what, I wish I was like 18 months ago. I wish I was like 2 years ago. I can look in the past and wish all I want, but what we have today is what we have. But you know who's never, you know who's outside of time? God. He's still the same. And God simply wants us to put that child out by faith, trusting, you know what? God is still good. He's our God. Faith molded the man that would be for the very rescue of the Jewish people. And when we can understand, faith is simple. Turn with me to Hebrews chapter 11. I just want to give you a definition, as the Bible does, of faith. I'll have a final conclusion here shortly, an illustration, but Hebrews chapter 11. We'll read verse 1 and then verse 6. Now faith is the substance of things hoped for. What do we as Christians hope for? Jesus coming back. Heaven. My hope is not in this country or the government or any politician. My hope is not that I'm going to be healthy, wealthy, and wise. No, that's not where my hope is. The evidence of things not seen. Our hope as a believer lies in eternity. Verse 6. But without faith, it is impossible to please him. For he that cometh to God must believe that he is, and that he is a rewarder of them that diligently seek him. And that was Moses' mother and dad. She was paid to wean and care for her own child. You know what God wants? He wants us to just say, God, I'm just going to trust you no matter what. I don't know what's going to happen with all these lockdowns and restrictions. I don't know. But one thing I know is my God is still good. I know that the Word of God is absolutely true. I don't need to doubt. I don't need to worry and fret. Because when I worry and fret, I'm showing that, you know what, I'm listening to Pharaoh. God is still good. A final illustration for you. When Hudson Taylor was sailing to China to begin his missionary work, his ship was in great danger. The wind had died and the current was carrying them towards sunken reefs, which are close to islands inhabited by cannibals. So close, they could see them building fires on the shore. Everything they tried was to no avail. In his journal, Taylor recorded what happened next. The captain said to me, "Well, we have done everything that can be done." A thought occurred to me, and I replied, "No, there's one thing we have not done yet." "What is that?" he queried. "Four of us on board are Christians. Let us each retire to his own cabin, and in agreed prayer ask the Lord to give us immediately a breeze." Taylor prayed briefly and then, certain that the answer was coming, went up on the deck and asked the first officers to let down the sails. "What would be good of that?" he answered roughly. I told him we had been asking a wind from God, that it was coming immediately. Within minutes, the wind did begin to blow, and it carried them safely past the reefs. Taylor wrote, "Thus God encouraged me ere landing on China's shore to bring every variety of need to him in prayer, and to expect he would honor the name of the Lord Jesus and give the help each emergency required. Knowing that our prayers touch the heart of our loving Father in heaven, and that we can meet any need, we should be confident that he will hear and answer when we cry out to him." End quotes. The works of Hudson Taylor. You know what God's looking for? God just wants faith. God just wants me to trust him. I put myself in that little ark. I'm going to let God carry me along. It was a mother that started at the beginning, who put her faith in God, did all she could for that child as long as she could. Ultimately, she says, "Okay, God, I'm going to trust you." And God would raise up a leader through that mother and that father for that nation.